Could you tell me a bit about the current situation?
Yes, well, currently the situation is that the volcano is still erupting. The government continues to evacuate people away from the danger area. This is an ongoing operation because it is hampered by the conditions and the risks. So far, approximately 50,000 or more people have been moved to safer locations, but there are still many who are left behind. So this continues.
And so what do you mean by the conditions? What is it like?
Well, it's an interesting situation that many might have seen the pictures on the news. This is a volcanic island within a larger lake. It's a fertile, rich area, so there's a lot of agricultural activities on the fringes of the main lake. There are fishing communities that have their livelihoods based on the lake. And these communities have been affected by the ashfall, in many places very thick ash. It has brought down houses, it has killed animals, and it is a zone that is subject to the possibility of dangerous pyroclastic flows, so superheated clouds of ash and gases that could erupt with the volcano at any moment. And anyone or any animals in the way would be suffocated and killed immediately. So this danger zone, which is at the moment a 14-kilometer radius around the actual area of eruption, is a place where upwards of 500,000 people live. So there are a lot of people who have spontaneously evacuated. You know, it's a peri-urban area. There are communities that are relatively affluent, and those people who could fled on foot or by car or by motorbike as soon as the volcano started to show signs of erupting. Many of the poorer communities, those that lived on the island that is erupting, or those who were fisher folk or farmers along the lakeside, many are quite poor and could not self-evacuate. So it's the government focusing on those communities to give them a means to get out of harm's way. Some still remain. It's interesting that, you know, there is perhaps for some an attitude that they've lived in these places their whole lives, their families before them. If something terrible is going to happen, then, you know, so be it. Almost a fatalistic attitude. They will stay put, come what may. There are also those who are left behind because they're retainers who have been tasked to look after the animals and the farms and the homes. The government is saying that everyone needs to get out of the way. So this is why I say it's an ongoing operation in terms of the evacuation. Right now, the volcanic activity is less than it has been over the last couple of days. It appears to have entered a period of relative quiet. The initial volcanic eruption on Sunday afternoon, evening, pushed a volcanic ash plume upwards of 15 kilometers into the air, so, you know, 10 miles high. The subsequent eruptions, that volcanic ash plume was less. Today it's around 300 to 500 meters. It's a relatively small ash emission at the moment. So we seem to be entering a period of relative quiet. That is an issue in many ways. If it's quiet now, what we're seeing is people who've been evacuated perhaps are feeling that they can now go home, even if it's on a temporary basis, just to go back home quickly to check on their belongings, get their valuables, and then leave. The government is saying don't do it because this is a highly dangerous area. They've set up police checkpoints they're trying to prevent people from going back.
So what would OCHA's key priority be at this stage?
Well, at the moment, we are anxious to see this evacuation operation be completed smoothly, that all those communities, families and individuals who are vulnerable and at risk are in a place of safety. So that is something which is ongoing, but it has challenges because of the logistics of the operation, the threat posed by the volcano. So it's taking time. We also are looking at the circumstances of people who are in the evacuation centres to make sure that they have the essential services that they need, that they are safe, that their health needs are being addressed. And of course, there's a lot of concern about the potential health threats posed by ash. So that's something that we are also looking at together with the government. We're wanting to be sure that communities are well informed. You know, people had to flee at short notice. They're in a strange place. They want to know, the news of what's happening back home. They don't have their normal networks for sharing information. So we see that there is a need for people to get that kind of news. And so we're looking at working with government to make sure that there's a good flow of information so people are well informed and so that they understand the circumstances and they understand perhaps the reasons why they can't go home immediately. We want people to know that they still have some control over their lives, you know, that they have a say in what happens next. So we see that these are sort of the non-material aspects of supporting people who've been displaced that are perhaps less visible, but are very much critical. And I think for government, they see value in the kind of support that we can bring as an international community in that regard.
What is the best case scenario that you hope?
Our hope, of course, is that this eruption will now die down and go away. And so that we were able then to quickly support government in the return of people to their homes and the restoration of their lives and livelihoods. It seems unlikely at the moment. I mean, it's based on the current analysis. What is more likely is that there's going to be continuing eruptions that will keep people away in large numbers on a protracted basis. So if people, particularly the sort of poorer segments of the community, have to stay in temporary accommodation for a long period of time, that creates its own challenges. So we have to plan for that possibility to see where government and the international community, the UN system and the NGOs can come together collectively to best support people who would perhaps be in a difficult situation, dislocated from their normal homes for a period of weeks or even months. The other issue that we have to look at, and unfortunately, again, as OCHA, we have to look at worst case scenarios, is that this lower level of activity, volcanic activity right now, is only presaging what will be a more dramatic eruption at some point in the days or weeks ahead. And this is in part what the specialists are saying, that there is signs that there's continued activity underground, that the magma under the volcano is continuing to move upwards. It's deforming the ground. So we see fissures opening, there are cracks opening on the surface. And apparently some of these cracks probably extend under the main lake. This would suggest that there's pressure and that there could be potentially a rather catastrophic eruption of a scale larger than what we saw on Sunday night. That would affect a much wider radius around the volcano. And if we draw a sort of a circle of around 17 kilometers around the current volcano, you're looking at a population of approximately 1 million people. Now, many of those have already gone, but, you know, it's quite a densely populated area. It's also a matter of only 45 miles, 70 kilometers from Metro Manila, which is a metropolis of upwards of 20 million or so people. I mean, it means that any ash cloud could potentially, again, affect Manila. It would close the international airport. The ash would make logistics very complicated. The roads become blocked and quite dangerous. It could bring down power systems. It could bring down the communications. And we'd see a much larger number of people who are displaced for a longer period of time, many of whom might never be able to go back to their homes.
So is this, you know, something that you would be looking at and planning for with sort of coordination meetings as the worst case scenario?
We do, and government has reached out to us to help review their current contingency plans and operational plans. So basically looking at how the current response can be improved, and also to look at future contingencies, whether that's for a more protracted displacement of the people who've been evacuated or the possibility of further significant eruptions and what that might mean. So that's one of the areas that we're focusing on at the moment as OCHA, as a UN country team and as a humanitarian country team here, working in close partnership with the government.